An historic moment for the incalculable number of abuse survivors in Aotearoa, New Zealand. The Royal Commission of Inquiry's report into abuse in state and faith-based care tabled in the House this week. It lay bare an ugly history, estimating at least 200,000 people, some of our most vulnerable, had been abused between 1950 and 1999. It was damning of political and public service leaders for disbelieving, ignoring and silencing survivors for decades. How did the government and parliament respond to the report, and what next? Kia ora, ko Anika Smith aho, anei te pūrongo tō rangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. There was an eerie quiet at Parliament on Wednesday morning, the weight and enormity of what the day would bring palpable in the air. Abuse survivor and advocate from Christchurch, Ken Clearwater, was on his way to the airport to catch a flight to Wellington. He told Corin Dan the day had been a long time coming for the country's survivors.
These men and women as children were called liars whenever they spoke about the abuse that they were suffering in the hands of people that were supposed to look after them. So it's a massive day.
And it hasn't been easy, the process, has it? There were a number of attempts to get an inquiry. This was a difficult process.
Oh, look, I didn't realise that when I wrote to Helen Clark in 2004 that there were actually other people out there doing it as well, because we were all isolated. So for me, that the actual trying to get a commission started in 2004.
And what do you hope New Zealanders see today when this report is revealed? What do you hope they learn and take away from it? What's the most important element?
The most important thing, they understand that this stuff happened, because these kids were called liars and they tried to tell officials and things like that. So this is an opportunity for New Zealand to see the atrocities that were committed against innocent, vulnerable children by priests, by people in the boys' homes, by people that were supposed to care for them. The sad part is that because it was committed by the state, that it's hard to say if anybody will ever be held accountable.
Around lunchtime, a group of survivors gathered in a Wellington park to march along the waterfront and up to Parliament. They carried a long banner of colourful ribbons carrying the names of children who'd been abused.
I hope that there's changes, because I worked in the area of child protection for 20 years and I know there's three or four generations now. Where I was at coming through the system, and I guess what I see this doing is putting a full stop to the past abuse, and hopefully there's enough laws in place that survivors will still need to come forward and get compensation, because they're still being abused in the system.
I am here to save our children that still could go through those battles in life, and because, you know, it's about change. And we're hoping after that our babies are seen, that they need that protection around them. No more abuse, no more any of that. So these ribbons, when I look at them, I feel the wider of everyone, and we stand here for them too.
It's also nice to actually have a voice and be heard, and to be able to, you know, heard from a perspective sense of what we've all been through.
Like, it's been a real long time, no one's listened, you know, and everything's just been quiet, and our voice has been the bad people, and now finally words are speaking and people are actually listening.
You are heard and you are believed. That was the key message from Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, who spoke directly to the survivors sitting in the public gallery to hear the government's response.
To every person who took part, I say thank you for your exceptional strength, your incredible courage, and your confronting honesty. Because of you, we know the truth about the abuse and the trauma that you endured. I cannot take away your pain, but I can tell you this: you are heard and you are believed. Many of your stories are horrific and harrowing. They are painful to read, but not nearly as painful as they were to endure. The state was supposed to care for you, but instead many of you were subjected to the most horrendous physical, emotional, mental and sexual abuse.
Of particular note on Wednesday was the government's long-awaited formal acknowledgement that what happened at Lake Alice amounted to torture. ACT and New Zealand First echoed the Prime Minister's message. The extensive and extreme abuse set out in the Royal Commission's report was unacceptable, and the state should and will do better. Opposition leader Chris Hipkins says successive governments across generations have failed, pointing out abuse is still ongoing.
The abuse and state care is not over. And I want to quote another sobering passage from the report. Most of the factors that led or contributed to abuse and neglect during the inquiry period continue to persist. Mr. Speaker, if this inquiry is to mean anything, we must consider the voices of the survivors in the actions that we take today as we respond to contemporary challenges of today.
There was unity across the House condemning the inquiry's findings, but some parties used their speeches to call into question some of the Coalition's policies. Green Party co-leader Chloe Swarbrick's speech drew the loudest applause of support from survivors sitting in the public gallery.
Survivors deserve and want real justice. That means that this apology must transcend into ensuring that no people are ever subjected to this at the hand of the state ever again. And to get really real and frank, what that means and what survivors this morning told us is that that means no military style boot camps.
Te Pāti Māori co-leader Debbie Ngāre Wepaka asked what's really changed.
All of these experiences have been shared with the rongoā of how taha Māori helps them. And yet here we are in a government that's saying how sorry it is, but it continues to create mega prisons, removes 7AA of Oranga Tamariki and experiments with our rangatahi and justice in boot camps. Everything that you have told us in this has been ignored. Every experience that you've asked us to think about continues to be perpetuated by this monstrous system that you've talked about. The system that continues to protect the system that perpetuated and created harm isn't held accountable. This is on your head, government. This is on all your heads, governments.
Children's Minister Axe Karen Chore, responsible for the Coalition's military academies, told the House the report has only made her more determined to keep children safe.
I have my own personal trauma related to dealing with state care, and this report affects me deeply. I am filled with compassion for the hardships and the trauma that so many have endured and to continue to suffer from. This report has renewed my determination to break the cycle of family violence and sexual violence. It's time we face this poison that is rotting our nation from the inside.
She was later asked on Checkpoint if she could guarantee the program would be free from abuse.
What I can guarantee is that it will be open, transparent, with the ability of mana mokopuna, the ability of the ombudsman, the ability of the independent children's monitor to show up at any time with no notice to make sure that these young people are safe.
Freelance journalist Aaron Smale has spent nearly a decade listening to survivors and telling key stories that led to a Royal Commission of Inquiry. He stood in the back of the Beehive Theatreette on Wednesday, listening to the Prime Minister's initial response to the report and asking him questions about the link between state care and gang membership before we sat down to talk.
Blood pressure subsided.
How was that for you?
How was that for me? I think there was a bit of a... I got a bit choked up with the Lake Alice stuff. You know, I wasn't expecting that. And that's going to be significant. The people I know who went through Lake Alice, they've been waiting for a long time for them, somebody, to actually say, hey, you know, what happened to you was wrong, let alone torture. So that... Yeah, there's a whole lot of implications that are pinging around in my head at the moment of what that means, because that has massive legal implications, which is that's legal stuff, but the impact of that, I have no idea what that's going to mean for the survivors. You know, that's just monumental, really, for them. So that was a little moment that caught me out, really. The other stuff, I think, yeah, I respect the fact that it's going to take some time to work through what's there. I mean, it's a huge report. But yeah, I did get a little irritated at Mr. Luxon saying that he understands what drives gangs. I don't think he does, actually. I'm sorry. And to try and always bring it back to the adult overlooks the point that these were kids. These were children. Before they had a patch on their back, they were kids. And that, to me, was, he seemed to still want to avoid the fact that gang members were once children. But that's, yeah, I'll leave that there for the moment. But, yeah, it's a lot to take in, and it's going to be a lot to take in for the victims.
The government's given itself till November to make that formal apology, and I assume at that point it'll also have some kind of concrete things, announcements about redress to come. Do you think today is enough for the survivors, dead and alive, of state abuse? Have you seen enough today to be convinced that the Crown, the state, is going to take responsibility for decades of abuse?
I think you'd have to ask the survivors. I mean, they all have different views on things. They're as diverse as any other group of people. So I can't speak for them. But, I mean, for me, just my impression is that it's a very good first step. The devil will be in the detail. There's a whole redress report, and it really is, that came out 2 years ago, and that's really, it should be renamed the cover-up report, because what was happening at that time is that they were trying to block any survivor from getting to the courts, and if they did, they absolutely railroaded them, and to set a precedent so that it would block any others getting through the door. And that's where things are going to get interesting, because now you've got a case law that's sitting there. What are they going to do? Are they going to go around that? Are they going to change the law? What are they going to do? And now that might not mean a whole lot for victims immediately, but it does mean there's a deterrent there if they change the law. The redress system, you know, I mean, I've been covering this for 8 years. I can probably think of half a dozen people that I've crossed paths with that have died. And many of the victims I know, they're not in good health. And they're towards the end of their lives. What does redress mean when you're at that stage, when you've had your innocence taken away as a child? It's impacted your whole life detrimentally. It's impacted your kids. It's impacted your grandkids. I know families that are into the fourth generation of this. So what price, if that's the right word, do you put on that? You know, what dollar figure can you give them that's going to take away that or give back that? And so, yeah, I mean, it's an unenviable task, but the reason it has become so problematic, every time somebody covered it up, every time somebody didn't address it, it got worse. And so here we are, 50 years in, half a century or more. And so that's the task they're facing. Where to from here? I mean, redress is the obvious thing that needs to happen. Mm. I think and it's in the report, I've only, you know, caught glimpses of it, but there seems to be, I think, from my point of view, I think the whole, every government department needs to rethink how we treat victims of trauma. Because at the moment, there seems to be just this tendency to impose and inflict more trauma. Mm. I mean, think of corrections, but you can look at police, you can look at the courts, you can look at health. That people walking in who are carrying trauma are just regarded as trouble, and they're punished. And you can see that in the kids' files. Mm. They're reacting to trauma, and they get more trauma inflicted. Mm. And that's kind of in a microcosm, but I think as a whole government, they need to look at every government department and say, how do we respond to trauma? Because we've got this massive cohort of people out there, intergenerationally, who are carrying this crap around. And what are we going to do about that? How are we going to treat them from here on in? Mm. That's, I think, a bigger issue. Where do we go from here? I think, as I say, a lot of these victims are getting... they're getting towards...
It's okay, take your time.
You know, this is what I get annoyed about with Mr. Luxon. It's that I've met gang members and they've been through the mill, they've been through jail. They've missed out on their kids, many of them, and they've got mokopuna and they know they don't want this for their kids, for their moko. But they don't know how to go about changing it. They don't want their moko to go into that system. They don't want this harm to be repeated, but they're not given any kind of support. It's just like, you're a bad person. We're going to punish you. We're going to take your patch off you. We're going to take your kids off you and put you in jail. And they want something different. And we are constantly, as I say, inflicting harm, not on just individuals, on whānau, whole communities, actually. And we need to rethink that and change that. It's like, and New Zealanders, by, you know, as a whole, actually need to view these, you know, groups of people that we look down on, just start to listen to them. All I've done is listen. All the Royal Commission did was listen. Maybe the government just needs to listen.
The government has promised to listen to survivors, but whether it hears their messages is another story. It has until November, the date of a formal apology at Parliament, to come up with a credible plan for redress. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Annika Smith. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.